Chapter 1. Crossing the Bridge. Life as we knew it is passing away, and something new is emerging to take its place. All of us are playing part in a larger transformative process, as each of us is being forced to confront whatever it is we do or even think that keeps love at bay. For as we block love's power to change our own lives, we block its power to change the world. Humanity is moving forward now. Though in some ways we're doing so kicking and screaming, nature seems to be saying to all of us, okay, it's time. No more playing around. Become the person you were meant to be. We would like to, but it's hard. The problems of the world today seem larger than they've ever been before, making it easy to succumb to cynicism, fear, hopelessness, and despair. Until, that is, we remember who we are. For who we really are is a power bigger than all our problems, either personal or collective. And when we have remembered who we are, our problems, which are literally nothing other than manifestations of our forgetfulness, will disappear. Well, that would be a miracle, you might say. And that is precisely the point. It is said in Alcoholics Anonymous that every problem comes bearing its own solution. And the gift being borne by our current challenges is the opportunity to make a large leap forward in the actualization of our own potential. The only way the world can make a quantum leap from conflict and fear to peace and love is if that same quantum leap occurs within us. Then and only then will we become the men and women capable of solving the problems that plague us. As we leap into the zone of our most authentic selves, we enter a realm of infinite possibility. Yet in order for us to become who we most deeply want to be, we must look at who we are now, even if what we see there doesn't please us. This moment is driving us to face every issue we've ever avoided facing, compelling us to get to some rock-bottom essential truth about ourselves, whether we like what we see there or not. And until we make that breakthrough in ourselves, there will be no fundamental breakthrough in the world. The world we see reflects the people we've become, and if we do not like what we see in the world, we must face what we don't like within ourselves. Having done so, we will move through our personal darkness to the light which lies beyond. We will embrace the light and extend the light. And as we change, the world will change with us. From fear to love. If we want fundamental change in our lives, then we have to address fundamental issues. We spend so much time on unimportant things, things with no ultimate meaning, yet for reasons no one seems to fully understand, such non-essentials stand at the center of our worldly existence. They have no connection to our souls whatsoever, yet they have attached themselves to our material functioning. Like spiritual parasites, they eat away our life force and deny us our joy. The only way to rid ourselves of their pernicious effects is to walk away, not from things that need to get done, but from thoughts that need to die. In order to achieve a miraculous experience of life, we must embrace a more spiritual perspective. Otherwise, we will die one day, without ever having really known the joy of living. That joy emerges from the experience of our true being, when we detach from other people's projections onto us, when we allow ourselves permission to dream our greatest dreams, when we're willing to forgive ourselves and others, when we're willing to remember that we were born with a purpose to love and be loved. We are here to participate in a glorious subversion of the world's dominant fear-based thought system. There are only two core emotions, love and fear. And love is to fear as light is to darkness. In the presence of one, the other disappears. As we shift our perceptions from fear to love, sometimes in cases where it's not so hard, and ultimately in cases where it takes spiritual mastery to do so, we become miracle workers in the truest sense, for when our minds are surrendered to love, they are surrendered to a higher power, and from that, all miracles follow. Miracles. According to A Course in Miracles, a miracle is a shift in perception from fear to love. It is a divine intercession from a thought system beyond our own, rearranging our perceptions and thus rearranging our world. The miracle is beyond what the mortal mind can understand. God's guidance doesn't come as a blueprint the rational mind can follow, but rather a spiritual illumination, creating psychological breakthroughs our mortal self could never achieve. And as each of us rises to our higher selves, we begin to reach each other at higher levels as well, combining our energies in more creative ways than we might have ever thought possible. Whatever is needed, our love will provide. We will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, arising to heightened dimensions of talent and intelligence. We will meet each other in magical ways. We will right the wrongs that had seemed unrightable. We will do all this through the miracles of God. The moment the World Trade Centers fell, the complete solution to the problem that then confronted us was created full-blown within the mind of God. The solution is a plan that involves every human being to the extent to which we make ourselves available to Him. His work is the work of our greater becoming, and we don't have to go somewhere else or do anything else in order to be doing it. The journey to a better world isn't along a horizontal, but rather a vertical road. It's not a trip somewhere else, but only deeper into our hearts. Right in front of you, at this very moment, there are things to do and thoughts to think that would represent a higher possible you than the one you are manifesting at the moment. In any given instant, there is more love we could see and more love we could express. Doing our part. As we change our perceptions, He will change who we are. When we have become who we are supposed to be, we will know what it is we're supposed to do. And when we have remembered who is walking with us, we will have the courage to do it. The miracle worker's task is this: to consider the possibility there might be another way. And there is, and He will show it to us. You might be thinking judgmental thoughts about someone, and in this moment you could take a deep breath and pray for God to help you forgive them. You could be thinking about something you perceive to be lacking in your life, and you could choose to rethink that, concentrating instead on how much you do have. You might be worried about your ability to perform a job, and then remember that God lives within you, and there's nothing He cannot do. In any given moment, the greater life is available. When we begin to live the greater life, not seek it so much as simply choose to participate in it, then and only then do we find that it's all around us all the time. God is in your mind. Wherever you go, He is there. And why are we not already functioning at a higher level of spiritual mastery? What holds many of us back is not spiritual ignorance, but rather spiritual laziness. We know many of the principles of higher consciousness. We're just too mentally and emotionally undisciplined to apply them universally. We apply forgiveness where it's easy, faith where it seems to make rational sense, and love where it's convenient. We're serious, but not really. Now contrast that with the advocates of hate. Do terrorists hate us just some of the time? Do they have a casual commitment to their cause? Do they take less than seriously the goal of full manifestation of their worldview? The only way we will triumph over hate is when we become as deeply committed to love as some people are committed to hate, as deeply devoted to expressing our love as some people are devoted to expressing their hate, and as firm in our conviction that love is our mission as some are that hate is theirs. Living in the light. Every moment we've deviated from our highest, bringing pain for ourselves and others, is a moment we deviated from love. It was a moment when we simply didn't know how to remain righteous and still get our needs met. We fall into ancient patterns of ego and fear for no other reason than that we're subconsciously programmed to do so. And when all other efforts fail, we are likely, if only in the secret chamber of our heart, to ask God if He would please help us. And He will. He will reprogram us at the deepest levels. And then, through the alchemy of the divine curriculum, we will meet the people we're supposed to meet in order to go through the situations we need to go through, in order to learn the lessons that will transform us from beings of fear to beings of love. We will be given every opportunity to learn through joy, and when we deny ourselves that, we will learn through pain, but we will learn. It isn't easy giving birth to our spiritual potential. Spiritual labor can be very arduous, one holy instant at a time. When we give it up, surrender, soften, don't care if we're right, forego our impatience, detach from the opinions and prizes of the world, and rest into the arms of God. But the end result is the love of our lives. We will begin to feel more comfortable within ourselves, less laden by the chronic angst that marks the times in which we live. We will begin to feel free at last of past hurts, able to fearlessly love again. We will begin to exhibit the maturity and strength that were lacking in our personalities before. A new energy will emanate from who we are, and others will feel it too. All of this is very simple, which is not to say it's easy. The spiritual path is not a matter of growing more metaphysically complicated. It's a process where we actually grow simpler and simpler as we apply certain basic principles to everything we go through. We don't learn love, which is already etched on our hearts. We do, however, begin to unlearn fear. And with every change we make, from blame to blessing, we pierce the veil of illusion that separates us from the world we want. Not every lesson will feel like fun while it's happening, and at times we will resist growth fiercely. But as long as we remain open to miracles, to the possibility of infinite possibility, then we will forge ahead into a new realm of being where love has erased the patterns of fear that have sabotaged us in the past, lifting us to unimaginable heights. Every situation comes bearing a gift, a chance to become who we really want to be and live the lives we really want to live. We will inhabit the world we choose to see, and that is why it's so important that we never lose sight of love. As we read about war, let's not forget the beauty of a sunset. When we think about the state of the world, let's not forget how many people fell in love today. God never loses his enthusiasm for life, and neither should we. Beneath the surface of worldly happenings, people continue to smile at each other and mean it, have babies, heal, create art, forgive each other, become more enlightened, laugh, grow wise, and love in spite of it all. In a world that seems split in two between fear and love, our greatest power lies in sharpening our own focus. Some things in the world today are very, very dark. What the world needs now is more people who are working for the light. Seeing the light and then living in the light, we will ultimately become masters at the power it bestows. Choosing a new way. Suggesting anything close to the idea that love might actually be the answer, we're swatted down like a fly by our contemporary thought police. We're told how naive we are, how silly we're being, how unsophisticated our analysis of the world's situation. She's a nut. He's a moonbeam. Yeah, right. But those who build weapons systems to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars a year and don't see a fundamental problem with that are sane. Those who propose building new and better nuclear bombs as the solution to global conflict are sane. Those who play with war like it's a little boy's new set of Legos are sane. The world has become something like out of Alice in Wonderland. The sane seem insane, and the insane seem sane. The entire world is completely upside down. But the good news is how many people know this. We've just been afraid to say it because we thought we were the only ones thinking it. And we are not. A new commitment to love is rising up from the depths of our humanity, and its power is changing us on fundamental levels. Our mind has been opened to a liberating truth, and we feel this truth like an alchemical substance that bathes ourselves and transforms our thinking. Though science couldn't necessarily register the change, we can feel that we're not the same. We have devoted our lives to a radical possibility that love casts out fear. Externally, we don't really change. We still look the same. dress the same, play the game as the world defines it. But something has shifted in the way we see things. We sense another reality beyond the veil. The world we see is not deep enough to sustain us. We know that now, and we stop pretending that it will ever be. We are developing the eyes to see beyond the veil, and with that vision, we will invoke a new world. Every morning as we wake up, we can bless the world. We can pray to be servants today to something holy and true. We can take a deep breath and surrender ourselves to God's plan for our lives. And as we do, we will experience miracles. What's most significant is this. We are depressed if we do not. For working miracles is the calling of our souls. We are literally dying to be born into the next stage of our spiritual development. The world's fear is old and dying away. And that's why it's so angry. Love has scarcely taken its first breath on this earth, and that's why it's so tender. But the meek shall inherit the earth for one reason only. Their strength will literally take the place over. Who we were is not as important as we thought, and who we are becoming is simply out of this world.